This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Ah, there it is. Busted Pencils Friday. Johnny Lupinacci, TGIFBP. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Yeah, educated educators talking education, fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Jess and Anya, both in the house. Everybody's here. All right, round and round. How's everybody doing on a Friday here? Start with Jess.
Starting with me?
Yeah. Okay.
Good. You know what? Good. It's a Friday. Been doing some regulating. Feeling good. Okay. Feeling ready for the weekend. Throw to Anya.
Whoa, popcorn to me. I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week in different ways than normal, but a type of crazy that is more suited to my type of crazy. So I'd say I'm having a good week and I'm glad to be back on air with you guys. I've been listening, if not on the board, listening to the podcast, and you guys covered a lot this week. So I'm excited for this wrap up. If we can wrap this all up in one, that'd be crazy.
Sure we can.
And I'll pop over to Johnny.
Well, I'm doing great. You know, it's Friday. It's June. It's the weather's gorgeous. We had an awesome show last night with my new neighbor. Actually, he is like right down the street from me. You know, Jethro Jones. He was a great guest, but, you know, rock star education leader and thinker to nudge us to rethink what we claim to know about learning. I loved, you know, being able to talk with him and meet him. But you know what? It's the first day of summer for me. I wrapped up my teaching responsibilities for the school calendar year yesterday. And I was tired today. I was like, why? I wanted to do all kinds of stuff, go on a walk, go do things. I did it, but I was like, you know, I probably should have just rested because I'm actually kind of tired. It's like that calm after the big hype was all turned up, but I'm done for summer. And I love this Friday kind of routine that we stumbled across where we were like, hey, let's break down the week. We cover so much and we have so many great guests and so many amazing callers and things that we talk about all week. But being able to come on Friday and just hear from you, Jess and Anya and Tim, and we just kind of look back at the week and kind of put a wrap on it. But before we get to that, Tim, what's an important thing about every Busted Pencils show?
One of the most important things is Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Johnny, when you're talking about it's June, I thought you were going to launch into which is the three reasons why you became a teacher: June, July, and August.
Oh, hey, now.
Well, Tim, I just recently in my whole teaching career, which we did a little retrospective of in the last show, there was a little quiz on like when did you start teaching? But for many years, I didn't really, I mean, the seasons changed, but a lot of the school models I was teaching in were year round. And so education, I mean, there was summer. It was nice outside. We did more outside and we, you know, had some summer breaks, but we were on a year round calendar. We can get into that sometime looking at like the research about, you know, good education, especially in high need communities. How important
I was just going to tease you though. You know, that was the whole thing. I know the only reason you're being a teacher is for June, July, and August.
Was like, the sarcasm guy.
Yeah, you know, the sarcasm guy.
Okay, we talked about this. This guy.
That guy. You know, but he said, I had a lot of those, you know, roommates and college fraternity brothers that, you know, as I was becoming an elementary school teacher and they were in business and all those things, they were just, you know, they would constantly give me the, you know, so you're just going to be off all summer. What kind of major is that? And I'd be like, well, you know, here's the deal. Like, You can go over to the advising office and change your major. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, it's like yeah. People are yelling at me because of the major I chose as if it was a lottery. I ended up in the teaching major and they ended up in the business and all the other majors. And it was just like, you know, it's like, can give me a break, man. And then, you know, homework nights, I'd be sitting there cutting out gingerbread men and stuff like that. And, you know, and they'd be doing that. They're like, that's not homework, dude. I'm like, hey, that's it, though. You all had a choice. You know what, though?
Choices. All choices have consequences.
Yeah. Lots and lots and lots of great guests. Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, checking it out. You know, Educators Amplified, Jethro Jones coming on the show. But, you know, first thing,
Jonathan Jerko,
yeah, you know, especially from AQ, all kinds of stuff. But Science of Reading, I just want to pop that in there because Matt Damon's mom, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, I told people this, you know, if you paid attention to the socials after that episode, little bit of a hornet's nest there that show stirred up in those who support the science of reading. We're not happy that Dr. Nancy Carlson Page made fun of their movie, which is called Sold a Story. They were very upset that she would dare criticize a documentary that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the science of reading was the only way you could ever teach reading. They were not happy with Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, because she said, I think that was a whole bunch of hooey. That might even been the word she said, too.
I think hooey. That is the word she used, was hooey.
Dang, I really wish now that my Rotten Pumpkins reviews had a hooey button that I could just say, this film was hooey. I don't make me say more about it. That's a good film review term right there.
Yeah, I love it.
But it just points out, though, that topic, you know, the whole idea of teaching reading has been for the longest time, 100 years. People say they're called the reading wars. They change sides every so often. They give them different names. They give them different labels. But it's kind of there's the old school, how you have to learn reading. And then there's always some form of a progressive reading. But Dr. Nancy Carlson Page was talking about 3Q-ing. A way to use text to help readers learn, you know, young kids, help them learn to make sense of the written word language using, yes, sounds, but using context, using understanding, using a whole bunch of other knowledges. And boy, they, the science of reading people, were just absolutely upset with Busted Pencils for bringing on Matt Damon's mom and advocating 3Q-ing, because Joni, as I said, and I'm in one of those states, 3Q-ing has literally been outlawed in states. Outlawed. You cannot teach it if you are getting public monies in this state. You look confused, John Lupinaggi.
Well, I get confused anytime someone tells me something's outlawed, because I'm always like, is it though, really? Because I mean, again,
it is.
Like
in
we made
over 10 states, it is illegal to use the 3Q-ing system to teach reading.
But here's what I'm saying. It is, to me, and I'm gonna put this out there, good teachers, you know, call in, give us, like, teach us differently. 855-752-4842. What I'm gonna say is, this is marketing to sell a new thing that is just like a repackaging of one or less or some variation that we already know from the experts isn't as good as like having a full toolbox. This is like telling me as a carpenter, right? I used to be a plumber, so I could say like, hey, you can't bring your wrench, right? Or a carpenter, you no longer can swing a hammer. You have to use this other tool. I think we're going to really see, because if we go back, I know they don't want us to call it 3Q-ing, or they say you can't use the curriculum that is shaped by 3Q-ing. But if you find a teacher, a good teacher out there who's teaching reading, even with the approved curriculum that's not using the semantic, the context from level cues and clues in the reading, the syntactic, the grammatical features, the sounds of letters, right? Or the what's the other one now? We have the syntactic, the semantic and
the graphophonemic.
Yeah, the patterns, the spelling patterns, the graphophonemic, right? This is why I was terrible in my like literacy courses. Secondary ed teacher here. So I didn't teach children to read. I mean, I'm trying out the sarcasm. I helped people become stronger readers, but most students, right, already learned to read, but everyone learns to read, right? Especially in the younger grades or in our early years. And I just think when we say it's outlawed, I get that legislators are making that. They're doing that to like rig markets. We're still going to need to do this. We're still going to need to do this to teach. And also this is like, this might be the anarchist in me. Okay. So come get me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Johnny's like, come get me. Those secret midnight learning sessions.
Yeah. Round up, you know, the Mrs. S's and the Mrs. K and all the people who are out there doing the good work in first grade classrooms, teaching our children to read.
Three cures, we're going to get you away. Get a comment from Damon Hargraves, who we met last night, finally going to be on the show. Got a pitch out to him to get on there. The science of reading, quote, versus scientifically based practices.
Yeah.
Damon. I mean, that's the reality. And again, though, Johnny, that goes to what you're saying. There is marketing here. And in fact, calling it the science of reading, there is no such thing. This is a marketing tactic to get people to believe that this is a science. And it's supposedly saying, hey, guess what? It's settled. Everybody understands. Everybody knows this is the right way. Well, if we actually had scientifically based practices, of which we always have our friend Paul Thomas on, well, actually, if we used scientifically based practices to teach kids to read, we'd use a whole lot of things, because the research, the scientific literature on learning to read is pretty thick, with multiple methodologies, texts, curriculum, because guess what? As Jethro Jones told us last night, learning ain't pretty, man. It's a messy, messy, nasty, wicked spinning and churning and up and down. And guess what? Hey, science doesn't know that much, man. Sorry. Big bit long, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Jump in, give us a call. What was the best part of this week for you? 855-752-4842. Yeah, we'll continue when we get back. Am I freaking up? Oh, that was me. Yeah, I was singing Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Hey, my name's Tim, too. Tim's the lead singer for Rise Against. I thought I'd try a little bit, you know, show you. Never mind, man. Busted Pencils, yeah. What a great week. Science of Reading, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom. Educators Amplified, Jonathan Gurko, Jethro Jones, marketing, it all comes in there. And, you know, thinking about that too, kind of go, we had a great guest though in Jonathan Gurko, who came on to talk about, this was like a week of really getting deep into mixing things up, the terms, things we think we know and what they really mean, because we got into what does public mean. And Jonathan, Anya, I don't know if you had an opportunity, you know, with that to say, public is a lot more complicated after you spend time reading Jonathan's book, Publicization, and you listen to our show. I thought it was pretty easy up until I met Jonathan. Now he confused me.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent episode. And to just start from the title of his book being Publicization, and opening with, well, we have a word, we have privatization, and we don't really have a word for the undoing or the un uninhibiting of this thing being tied to, well, now it's going to be a private company doing its own thing. How do we take this thing back that maybe it was public or never was and put it back into public hands? How do we do that? How do we do that when we don't even have the words for it, like the very title of his book suggests? So I thought that was great. And I think, too, to say, you know, I thought I understood, and the more I learned, the less I knew. Like, that is the wonderful bell curve of expertise, is when you know just like a percent, a half a percent, you're like, I'm the expert. I'm king of the world. I know everything there is to know. But you push on those questions. It's like, well, what does it mean to give it back? Who is it going back to? Like, how do we untangle, literal, in the literal sense of, let's put forward a solution that in the end, this isn't a problem anymore. Wouldn't that be crazy if we started solving problems till they were solved? That'd be awesome. Mm.
Too radical, Anya. Too radical.
Oh, God, they keep telling me that. but I think that is what he's trying to do in this instance, is a lot of people say, well, wouldn't it be great if this was in the public hands, this service or this good, like internet connection as an example, not to say nationalize, not to say put it in the hands of the government, but to publicize it.
Publicize, nice.
We got it. Yeah, I'm working on my vocabulary and my pronunciation, but I think that simple part in all the complex is really important, to just say, if we've not invented a word for it, have we done all the work we can? And I think his answer and my answer is no, but we're still working on it. That's what's important.
It puts together this idea, though, too, is if, you know, particularly looking at saying, you know, well, one of the things we can tell about privatized, he uses the exclusionary test.
Right.
And he put forward there to go like, okay, and if this happens, oh, guess what? You're not public. And so, you know, I kind of like that way of kind of, you know, looking at and going, okay, do we want to know if something's public? Well, then here are the exclusionary tests. Does it this? Does it that? Johnny Lupinacci, publicization. You keep saying publicization. Tell me, you have a long I in it when you say it, man.
publicization. I don't know what you're talking about, Tim. Okay. You need to get you some new headphones, man.
Publicization. That's what you were saying.
Yeah, like privatization, publicization.
Oh, there we go.
I mean, to me, I don't know. I guess I don't hear. I'm saying it differently.
This is just Detroit versus Pennsylvania, or sorry, Michigan versus Pennsylvania all over again. You guys both think the other has an accent.
I'm applying the queuing system. I'm using my grammo phonetic thing, and the Ohio curriculum police are gonna
I was gonna say the science of reading police are gonna come after you.
They're already on their way, Johnny. They're driving from Ohio to you.
No, you know what? I'll just go. It's Friday. I'll just say they won't, because they won't be able to profile me like so many of the Ohio police are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll slide right under the radar with the rest of the first grade teachers that are, you know, we already know we have too many white teachers. So they're not going to be able to racially probe. We're going to just run game by teaching the three queuing system. They're gonna crack down. They're gonna stop the cartel by preventing us from teaching kids to read.
That's right. They never would have gotten into all that nefarious stuff if they couldn't have read the offer in the text. That's it. Yes.
The three queuing system is a gateway to bad things. Yeah,
you know, going back to that
literacy and democracy and democratic participation. And it is connected to, because publicization is like together. Like, how do we reclaim a public responsibility for good education, good healthcare, great transportation, safe neighborhoods, you know, connection and stability, not control and more enforcement. That's just like more rules, and not even rules to enforce anything, rules to make us have to buy your thing.
Yeah.
Jess, I wanted to ask Jess this question, though, because where Jonathan got me, and I'm not sure where I'm at on this, but I had my own kind of like, look, it's public when, particularly when we're talking about public schools, is as long as you have an elected school board, if the schools are under the control of an elected school board, people representative of the community, to me, that was the kind of going, okay, that's public. And the reason why that distinguishing came up is that some charter schools that get public money get themselves out of the control or the oversight of elected school boards. And that to me says, okay, you're not really a public school, because public schools are under the watch of an elected school board, therefore a democratically elected board, and that was the public. And Jonathan kind of said, well, wait a minute. He challenged me on that a little bit. I don't know, Jess, what do you think?
So what I loved about that conversation was it got us past the initial talk of what makes something public and into what is the role of public education in creating and sustaining a democracy. So when he's talking about a lot of charter schools fall through those cracks and they are no longer really public because their school boards are appointed rather than elected, well, then that school can't fulfill the idea of continuing democracy because they themselves are not participating in democracy. So for me, the way that he explained it, it made perfect sense that, yeah, even though technically, according to tax statements, this school is public, but when we actually look at what the reality is on the ground, that's not a public school. It's not fulfilling the promise of democracy. It's not furthering the goals of democracy.
The promise of democracy. I love that, man. Public schools fulfilling the promise of democracy. That sounds like something to go on a t-shirt. Speaking of which, Johnny Lupinacci, man. Nice new Busted Pencils t-shirt there.
Yeah.
BP, I got the old one on. Yeah, check it out, man. The new Ray Gun Busted Pencil store. You get your stickers and your merchandise. Yeah, man. Busted Pencils. You can wear it wherever you go. There it is. There it is. The big fist breaking those pencils. Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk. What does learning look like? And how do we regulate when we get back? And replace them with our own words. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I won't cross these streets until you hold my hand. Yeah, makes me smile. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Welcome to the breakdown. Yes, Jess, perfect song because it is Friday and we are breaking down the entire week of Busted Pencils because, man, there were a lot of pencils being busted this week. Lots of great guests, lots of great callers. Lots, and there's Johnny Lupinacci there showing he's got the wiggly pencil, man. I don't know how he does
that. Harder to bust. I don't know if you can break something so wiggly, but he's gonna try.
But he's persistent.
Yes, that's
he's dedicated to busting.
He's fully leaded. I heard
fully leaded.
Oh, Johnny Lupinacci, though. Yeah, you know, just thinking about that, and so you know, we Educators Amplified, Jethro Jones, you were talking about this, though, too, just the whole idea of, you know, kind of in a way, we started hinting at what was our favorite part of the week. And, you know, we've got enough of us here. I'm going to hold back and I'm going to throw it to Jess. Jess.
To me again.
Yeah. Okay. Something about the arrangement of us on the visualization. Favorite part of the week for Jess?
Ooh. Okay. My favorite part of the week was yesterday with Jethro Jones. During the third segment, he was talking about a lot of the learning that happens for our kids, not necessarily explicitly in our classrooms, but that still happens under the purview of a school and all of the opportunities that really can happen for learning when we structure time for the social emotional development of children, for the skills that aren't necessarily related to taking a test and are very, very much related to how humans interact with one another. He provided a really powerful example from his time teaching in Russia about, you know, the group of girls who, you know, had hired on a group of boys and they really just weren't working out, and how they had learned the skills to actually gently tell these boys that it wasn't working out, and everyone was able to walk away better than they came in. Yeah. It was a powerful moment. I really loved that.
Nice. Nice.
I'll mix it up. I thought I got to throw it to someone.
Who's in charge
you
of this?
I'm sorry. Throw that popcorn around there, Jess.
Normally, I always throw it at Anya, so I'm going to change it up and I'll throw it to Johnny.
Oh, to me? What? Oh, I'm thinking, you know, my favorite, I'll be honest, and it's going to be really short. My favorite part of the week this week, and it's been a banger of a week, but I've looked forward to today because I really enjoy Anya and Jess being able to talk with us, talk to each other, and for our listeners to get to hear these brilliant women who are not behind the scenes, but making it happen with us every day. So we get to talk with them before the show, during the breaks, after the show. They are giving us feedback on what they heard, what kind of listener engagement there is. So they have such a great perspective. I look forward to Fridays when we break it down with Jess and Anya, and I get to be hearing what they share. So that's my favorite part of the week. It's happening right now. So and I'm just gonna throw it there. The popcorn thing gives me anxiety. It's just the worst classroom practice that we all lived through and did. So I love you. We're mocking it a little bit, but I mean,
should we set a routine of what direction we go so that you know when to expect to be asked to talk?
We might need a little bit more of a plan, because I agree. I went to an elementary school where people would really ask, it's like, well, how long do we have to read before we can popcorn? And I remember a teacher going, you have to read at least one word. And that was, so it's the, I popcorn to Tony, cat, I popcorn to Jess, went, I popcorn. It was, oh, Lord. Oh, Lordy, Lord. So.
Okay, Anya, your favorite part of the week now, though.
Yes.
To you.
Yes.
Pop-Tart. Pop-Tart to you.
Pop-Tart. Okay, good. well, this is rather convenient because I think, Jess, you picked Thursday, and Johnny, you've picked today, Friday. This is very convenient because I was going to say Wednesday. So I think we've all, and Tim covered Monday and Tuesday pretty well. So I think we've hit all the days. Of course, Wednesday tends to be my favorite day of the week because of Educators Amplified and the energy they bring. And I got to be real. Both Joanna and Hallie every week will deliver. I can't call it a one-liner because it's not meant just to be comedic. But somewhere almost every week, one or really both of them says something that is so profound. And one that Jess even brought up to me was to talk about that we're in the stew. Hallie took apart so well this feeling that is exactly what I felt a little over a year ago when I exited education. I left before the end of a semester, my last teaching job. And I look back and I'm like, yeah, I was in the stew. I was in the flames were going higher and higher around the side of the cauldron, and it was oozing and bubbling and spewing and spraying. And I was just in there like, oh my gosh, I'm either going to get cooked alive here. And Jess saw I was kind of getting cooked alive even then, or I'm going to get out. And I got out. So I hate to see, you know, teachers leave. I hated leaving. But I think we do need to talk about the instances in education where stew-like conditions occur and how it's inhumane to put a person in a soup. I think we can say that. So if the conditions of your workplace are soup-like or stew-like, we got to talk about changing that, turning down the heat, getting things a little bit away from the top of that cauldron, getting the human element out of the cauldron. So I love Wednesdays for things like that. The visual imagery alone, or the mental imagery alone, is just enough right there.
I will say my favorite part of Wednesdays, though, is when Hallie gives us one of those good, deep laughs.
That too, right?
Yeah, when you know that's the best laugh on radio, right there. I mean, you know, she could be a laugh stand-in with that.
Yes, like a hand model, but for laughs.
Johnny, I got some things about Wisconsin I want to talk about, but you got a little thing to talk about. Before we get into it,
because your story that you've been mentioning for us to get to, and I think more is unfolded, but it's an important one, and it brings up a lot of things near and dear to us in terms of like equity and leadership and just how we learn to treat one another and how we ought to be treated at any position, whether we're a teacher, a student, or a school leader. So we'll get to that. But before we get to that, something a little lighter, Civic Media Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest is on now through June 14th. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for a chance to hear codes to text in for a chance to win. New keywords are announced in the odd numbered hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's 7, 9, and 11 a.m., 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. Tune in to Nightlight with our guy Pete Schwaba to hear the next code, which will be announced at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. So you're almost there, almost, and will be valid through 7:59 p.m. Daily prizes include Wisconsin Dells prize packages and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. Enter for your chance to win a grand prize Scani getaway in a Door County, Lake Geneva, or Fort Atkinson.
Whoa. These prizes are legitimately really, really great. Yeah. Those club level tickets, they're incredible. If you've never had a chance to be on the club level at a Brewer game, it's a different experience. It really is.
Clean carpet in a ballpark is a visual miracle on its own. So going up to the club level and being like, it's clean, it's nice.
There are no lines for any of the concessions.
There's beer, but I don't smell stale beer. It's like it's all fresh here. This is incredible. Yes, get those tickets, guys. It's fun.
My feet aren't sticking.
Yeah.
There are also opportunities if you send in a text, you're going to get a text back. Mm-hmm. If you click on that link, you're going to have an opportunity to check your voter registration.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are able to get civically engaged. Mm-hmm. And if you do those things, you get extra entries. There is no losing.
Whoa. Awesome.
Heck yeah.
It is truly then a Scani summer, as Johnny pointed out at the beginning of the show. It's summer for Johnny Lupinacci because he's last day of classes, man. He's there.
Yesterday, Scani, wrapped though, up.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so great wrap up, everybody. Really appreciate that. It's super, super week. But before we, you know, before we do leave though on this Friday, big, you know, big news coming out of Wisconsin this week. And we need to talk about this. And it's not going to be the last time. This isn't a like, whoa, we're done and then moving on. But incident happened last week, Baraboo, Wisconsin. So everybody out there truly digging deep in Wisconsin, you know, yeah, there is Baraboo. I heard of that. Yes, you have heard of that. You might have heard about it because last Friday during graduation ceremonies, there was an incident there. And just to, I'll try again to set the stage what the stage was looking like. But students, as they graduated, would then come up on stage, get their diploma, and then walk past adults, principals, superintendents, school board members, and shake each of their hands, you know, kind of like that celebration. Congratulations. Awesome. You did forward. And they go through in a circle. But in the middle of the handshaking, there was, and this was on film and you can check it out, Wisconsin Baraboo graduation ceremony. Right as a student was coming through the line to shake hands, a father showed up out of nowhere and grabbed hold of the superintendent, Dr. Rainey Briggs, moved him out of the way so that when his daughter, it ended up being that this was the father of the daughter who was walking by to get her diploma, moved him away. And we now have found out because he did not want his daughter shaking Dr. Rainey Briggs' hand. We'll get into some of the reasons supposedly, but let's put a little bit more out there too. Dr. Rainey Briggs is an African-American male in Baraboo, Wisconsin. If anybody's going, why do I remember Baraboo? Well, in 2018 or 19, the graduating class, parts of them, mostly men, boys, there was a picture put out of them, what appeared to be a unanimous Heil Hitler salute that went out. And then again in 2021, there was a settlement for a racism claim and bullying and bigoted by a student. So yes, we're talking about that Baraboo. So Dr. Rainey Briggs, and I will point this out too, is that I actually know Rainey very, very well. When I was in Madison, Wisconsin for those 10 years at the Edgewood College as the dean, Dr. Rainey Briggs became Dr. Rainey Briggs at Edgewood College. And, you know, I worked with him, got him into the program. He was a principal at the time at Sun Prairie School District. He was an elementary school principal. Since then, though, he'd done some other things and became a leader. But he became the Baraboo superintendent. It was in 2021 or so. But yeah, Dr. Rainey Briggs. And Rainey and I spent a lot of time talking about issues. Now, so the question here is, was this racism that we saw here in Baraboo on display? Was the father who moved Dr. Rainey Briggs out of the way so that his daughter wouldn't shake Dr. Rainey Briggs' hand, was this an act of racism here? Those are the discussion points that we're talking about here. 855-752-4842. Do want to put this out for the callers, because I know anybody in Wisconsin, you've seen this out there. You've seen the news that's happening with Dr. Rainey Briggs. So, you know, if you want to give us a call, talk about this. Was this racism? Was Dr. Rainey Briggs, you know, was this, or as the father is trying to claim, it was just because he didn't want his daughter shaking Dr. Rainey Briggs' hand because they were upset with Dr. Rainey Briggs on some kind of an expulsion that had happened to his daughter. Lots of details there that we're going to, you know, we got another segment. We're going to come back, kind of talk about this a little bit more. Have a feeling we've already got one of our first phone calls that are coming in to be talking about this. But yeah, Dr. Rainey Briggs, superintendent, Baraboo School District in Wisconsin, last Friday on graduation night, while the students were coming forward to shake the dignitaries' hands, one of those being the superintendent, a father came out of the crowd, moved Dr. Rainey Briggs out of the way so that his daughter could walk by and not shake Dr. Rainey Briggs' hand. The father was a white male. Dr. Rainey Briggs is an African-American male. Baraboo School District, yes, that's where they was the Heil Hitler salute, or what appeared to be, and a claim of racism that was settled. So busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. More when we get back. Yeah, there it is. Stepping to school's house for summer. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education Friday. TGIFBP, thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Yes, we know. Breaking it down, week in review, getting into, you know, just touching on breaking news out of Wisconsin. Got a caller, though, Gary. Gary from Sussex. We want to hear what's happening. What's happening, Gary?
Hey, I call up, not actually your program, but I call the devils all the time and stuff like that. So they know me, and Todd Alva and Earl Ingram and everything. But you got a really interesting discussion today, and I did see this on television. And yeah. I don't know why, if it was racist or not. I think it goes back to their history. I don't think it has anything to do with the color, but for that guy to do that, I thought it was terribly wrong, totally disgusting, and I don't believe his daughter's ever going to forgive him, and he needs to do an apology. Now, the thing is this, I am a conservative, I'm a mega Trump, but if Joe Biden wanted to come over and have dinner at my house, I would treat him like he's a king. I would be respectful. I'd be happy to have him in there. I would talk to him about different things. But heck, if I saw him on, you know, on the street, I would shun him. I would never do that. I would respect the presidency. And even though I disagree with him, I don't think Joe Biden's a bad person. I disagree with his politics, but I would treat him with respect because he is my president of the United States. And whether I'm stuck with him or not, he's still my president, and I would show him that respect. And that dad should be ashamed of himself. And I bet you he really is.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for that call, man. Really hitting on it. Johnny.
Yeah, man. And Gary, thanks for listening and calling, man. Call in anytime, because I love that conversation that you bring and that perspective of, you know, I think we share it. And what I want to add to that too, and I agree, like it comes down to one, wow, how embarrassing for his daughter. But in addition to that, even if we were to say like, hey, no matter if the superintendent was white, if it was a woman, if it was anyone, identity does matter though, especially in the context that we're looking at this. So even if that dad, and we all agree, even Gary across the proverbial aisle politically from us, we're all like, holy smokes, we can't be, this is not how we behave when we're around one another, whether we agree or disagree. It's unacceptable. But then you layer that in the context. So even if that dad is not thinking about the racial implication of it, the context that I understand this to be in is that it's a highly racialized, you know, majority white. And by majority, I mean like high 90s%. And I'm not from Baraboo or too familiar with it, but it's there. And then you layer on top of that, you know, the amount of race-related violences and threats that people of color experience, and not only in position of leadership, but in that community. And so, you know, it's like a double whammy. It was an embarrassing moment for the daughter. It's a terrible representation of how we express our disagreement. And, you know, Gary, we're from political opposite sides of things, but I agree with you. Like, we can talk and we can get along and we can treat, I bet you we wouldn't push each other, you know? And so, you know, I think along that context of, it is impossible to separate from race. And I also know, Anya, you got some thoughts about this too. So we're bringing it back. Thanks, Gary, for calling. But Anya, I know in the break we were mentioning a little bit back and forth. And what are you thinking about related to, you know, the Baraboo story?
Well, it's funny. You sort of started to speak to it. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, can we ever know beyond a shadow of a doubt from inside of that dad's head that why he did this? In theory, no, unless he comes forward and says very truthfully, and frankly, even then he would have to kind of say what we were thinking. But to just say, to just put it plainly, you know, I'm an ex-educator, and something I realized in my time in education was I was horrified to realize that for a lot of people who become parents, the first 24 hours, week, month that they spend working with children is when they have their children. A lot of parents, it's like, well, we don't, you know, it's a whole new thing. And I think also part of that comes with it is, what does it mean to actually embarrass your kid? I think a lot of parents will joke about like, oh, I did bunny ears on my kid. That was embarrassing. It's like, well, no, you're kind of being silly. That's fine. I really, really want to highlight for parents who struggle, frankly, I'm going to phrase it the way I used to with kindergartners, who struggle with big emotions like, I don't want my daughter to shake that man's hand. Well, it's a handshake. She's going to be fine. And in instances where you're dealing with a big emotion like this, so big that you want to physically reach out and change where a person is standing, which isn't your call, I think it's important that more and more parents think, you know, am I about to do something that's going to ruin my child's future representation? Am I doing something that now when a future employer searches my daughter, are they going to find, oh, I pushed someone at my daughter's graduation? Is an employer going to be afraid, like, well, I don't want to hire and unfortunately subsequently maybe have to fire this woman. Her dad's going to show up, so she doesn't get the job at all. I'm not saying it's going to go that far, but I think even for people who are like, I don't care about politics or I don't care about feelings, can you think about your kid? And can you think about what your bombastic blow up, what your big decision with those big emotions is going to do to your kid? It sounds pretty childish for a parent. That's how I'll phrase it. I think I hope, like Gary said, I hope he does feel ashamed. I tend to think that someone who makes this decision is probably thinking how cool it is he's getting all this attention, but I'd like to believe this person has had a sleep on it and thought, you know what, I made a big, big embarrassment of myself and my daughter on her day. Hopefully that sticks with him, because if he pulls it on the wedding, man, that's going to be a much bigger argument, I think. I don't know. That was a joke to wrap it up. I gotta cope with humor, right?
I love it, though, Anya. Yeah, busted pencils. Johnny, though. Yeah, well, you know, and I think this is going to be a story we're going to come back to, because it's emerging. There are more things that are happening, more details. Yeah. And we don't know all the facts. yet. So as we get more of them, we're definitely going to talk more about them. But I can tell you this. So I can, Dr. Rainey Briggs, probably one of the most compassionate men I've ever met, totally motivated to do what's right by all children. And I can say that because, yeah, I knew him. He was part of our graduating group of superintendents who got the doctor's degree from Edgewood. So, and I worked with him on some Grow Your Own programs when he was at Sun Prairie. So I'm telling you, I mean, just a stand-up, super 100% awesome guy, Johnny.
Yeah, man, I think it's great that we're going to keep talking about it too, because as I'm watching the video and the news stories come out, I'm like, hey, man, how come nobody around didn't do anything? Like, did anybody check on this man who just got pushed out of the way? Like, it's just kind of like we all look like nothing happening here, nothing happening. So, again, bringing it back up, the context, the act, where are we at, and how do we stand up for what we know ought to be what's right? And so when we come back, we got a lot of great shows for you next week. Let's do another week together. Thanks, Anya. Thanks, Jess. Tim, it's always good to be here with you. Busted Pencils when we come back on Monday.
Yeah.